odias a mí, maldita peluquera!
We're off to a roaring start with a classic fight scene from a telenovela.
For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst.
Felix Contreras. And in case you haven't guessed, this week we're talking about telenovelas.
And we've invited Professor Carolina Acosta Alzuru from the University of Georgia. She specializes in telenovelas, culture, and society. Professor Alzuru, or Carolina, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jasmine. Happy to be here.
So the stereotype is that people in telenovelas have really long names and a lot of last names.
So in that tradition of long names, let's start the show again so we can say all of our names. For NPR Music, I am Felix Joaquin Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Serena Garst Garcia Barrio Jakubowski.
Ayer te vi pasar con el de brazo.
This is Alt Latino, and we're talking about telenovelas this week. And we're also listening to music about telenovelas. And we're going to hear Amor Gitano by José Feliciano. That was my best telenovela dramatic voice.
Oh, that was not very dramatic.
Después que me juraste que no lo quería. Toma este puñal, ábreme las venas, quiero desangrarme hasta que me muera. No quiero la vida si he de verte ajena, pues sin tu cariño no vale la pena. Yo siempre te lo he dado. ¿Por qué te burlas de mí, amorcito mío? ¿Por qué después que te he querido me das tan mal pago? Toma este puñal, ábreme las venas. Quiero desangrarme hasta que me muera. No quiero la vida si he de verte ajena, pues sin tu cariño no vale la pena. No vale la pena.
So you picked José Feliciano to start us off. Why?
Amor Gitano is a quintessential bolero, and the bolero is melodrama. Boleros, tangos, rancheras, they're all melodramatic musical genres. They're very related to telenovelas, which are also melodramatic, very related to Latin American culture. You know, in Latin American culture, when you fall in love and they break your heart, you dwell on the breakup. It's not like in the U.S. culture, the Anglo culture is more the get over it. Let's get closure culture. Let's move on culture.
Oh, but in Latin America, we don't get over it.
Yeah, in Latin America, we dwell on the breakup. We listen to music. There's a term, we are despechados. So we have to leave our despecho, which means we leave the heartbreak.
Despecho. And, so that's a word sometimes we talk about words that we have trouble translating. Despecho. How would you say despecho?
Heartbreak.
Heartbreak.
It's heartbreak, but it's more than that. I really don't think there's a translation for despecho in English.
It literally means off of your breast, off of your chest.
Yes, and it means that you are really suffering. It's heart-rending suffering. And so for the quintessential, the stereotypical way to despecharte is you put some music on, a ranchera, a tango, a bolero. Amor Gitano is a bolero, you know, of despecho, in which he talks, you know, give me he says literally, give me a knife so I will open my veins out and I will bleed out for you. So that's the most despecho you can get. And a telenovela is related to that because a telenovela is a long despecho. In the telenovela, you know, the lovers meet at the beginning, good news. Then at the end, they are together, happy ending, good news. But in the middle, it's just bad news, obstacles, and despecho.
Like you say, telenovelas are jam-packed with that overblown emotion to the point of stereotype.
Well, most of the stereotypes about telenovelas refer to the most traditional type of telenovela, which is called la telenovela rosa. So every time people talk about telenovelas, they what they have in their heads is that type of telenovela. But really, the telenovela world is much wider than the telenovela rosa.
Mm-hmm. What is that? So that's pink telenovela. And what is that?
The telenovela rosa is the most traditional mold, the one that came out of Cuba, basically. And it is the one in which you have the suffering female protagonist. She's beautiful. She's naive to the point of almost stupidity. And she falls, she's usually a rural girl from the countryside. She falls in love with a guy who is very handsome. He's not particularly intelligent, since he will believe everything the antagonist tells him. He is from the city usually, so there's a rural-urban thing going on there. And then there is the antagonist, who is usually a woman who, just like the protagonist is virtuous and naive, the antagonist usually uses her sexuality overtly and lies. And she is actually the smartest character in the telenovela. So that is the telenovela rosa. It's a story of socioeconomic ascent. It's a Cinderella story. It has some strict codes. But as I said, not all telenovelas are telenovelas rosa. The telenovela rosa is on one extreme of the continuum. On the other extreme is what we call the telenovela de ruptura, because it breaks the traditional telenovela mold.
The rupture, and in that telenovela.
The ruptured. It ruptures the mold, and it has characters that are not as Manichaean as the ones I've just described. These are characters that have nuances. And actually, the telenovela de ruptura can include issues of the day, socioeconomic issues, political issues, cultural issues. Well, every telenovela is in some point of that continuum. Some are more rosa and some are more de ruptura.
It's inevitable that when we're talking about telenovelas, we talk about stereotypes because everything is very extreme on them. And everyone is aware of the stereotype that Hispanics are very over the top, melodramatic, and romantic, and we feel things 110%. It's one of those things that when a non-Hispanic mentions it to you, you get a little defensive about it. I mean, there's some truth in every stereotype. And I wanted to just ask you point blank, are we a melodramatic culture?
Well, I think that melodrama, we understand the code of melodrama. I think that is different from being a melodramatic culture. We understand the code, and we are not ashamed of it. My experience, I teach a class here at the University of Georgia called Telenovelas, Culture, and Society, in which the students, for the most part, are not Latinos. And they get totally hooked with telenovelas. They get totally hooked with the meanings and the melodrama of it, because melodrama is universal. Latin America did not invent a melodrama. Latin America invented the telenovela. That's different.
I remember we spoke to Dominican author Juno Diaz, and he did say that we understand drama so well because we are a product of this clash of cultures and the conquest, and there's a lot of drama in our history.
I agree completely. And it's interesting because everybody says, well, Latin America is melodramatic. That's why telenovelas come from there. But when you look at how telenovelas had been exported to over 120 countries, how they are followed, you know, religiously in countries like Romania, for instance, you think, well, then what can we say about Romania? What can we say about Russians who were watching Los Ricos También Lloran and stopping their lives for that telenovela? Or what can we say about people in the Ivory Coast who actually on the month of Ramadan changed the time of their prayer because they had to watch Marimar? What can we say about that?
Really?
That's true stories that are all documented at UNESCO. And so what can you say about them? Well, the thing is, melodrama is universal. It's probably that in Latin America, we're more used to acknowledging that, that we understand melodrama very well, that we know the code, that our politicians use it all the time in their speeches to us, in the way they relate to us. But that, you know, I know it plays into the stereotype, but I want to just move away from the simplification that every stereotype is.
Sure.
Absolutely. And you said something very interesting at the beginning. You said that telenovelas were born in Cuba. And I think a lot of people think, when they think telenovelas, they think Mexico.
Yeah, because Mexico is the big telenovela empire, and currently it is the biggest empire. But the telenovela was born as a radio novela in Cuba. It has origins actually in the tobacco industry. You know, there were people who were reading stories in installments while women were rolling the tobacco leaves.
The cigar shops,
exactly. And so the radio, it started on the radio and then it went on to television. But when Fidel Castro came to power, several of the important writers left Cuba and went abroad. And, you know, Delia Fiallo and Inés Rodena actually came out of Cuba and worked their magic in other countries like Mexico and Venezuela. So the telenovela was not born in Mexico. Mexico, though, is right now one of the biggest producers and exporters. And because Televisa is so dominant in Mexico, this is why many people think that the telenovela Rosa is the only type of telenovela, because that's the type of telenovela that is produced by Televisa in Mexico. And it's the one that is broadcast here by Univision.
Before we get back into the whole idea of that dominance by Univision and Telemundo here in the United States, I want to hear some more music, something else you brought. You brought a classic track, one of my favorites, Vicente Fernandez. This is Volver, Volver from Vicente Fernandez.
Este amor apasionado anda todo alborotado por volver. Voy camino a la locura y aunque todo me tortura, sé querer. Nos dejamos hace tiempo, pero me llegó el momento de perder. Tenías mucha razón, le hago caso al corazón y me muero por volver.
Y volver, volver, volver a tus brazos otra vez.
Dejamos hace tiempo, pero me llegó el momento de de perder. Tú tenías mucha razón, le hago caso al corazón y me muero por volver.
Y volver, volver.
I waited all day to hear that.
But it's, I think it's good to watch it on YouTube, because that video is,
oh, it's amazing.
You just can't get more, you know, traditional despecho than that.
Well, I was going to say, in the video, Vicente Fernandez, who, by the way, is a legend of Mexican music.
Mexican rancheras and mariachi.
He's the man. He's the king. Mm-hmm. And he looks completely miserable. He's crying in the video. I mean, tears are just streaming down his face. And I don't know. I mean, maybe he smelled an onion before shooting, or maybe he was really miserable.
And that video that's the quintessential male despecho. He's sitting with a friend. They have tequila on the table. The horse is on the room. The horse is inside the room. And then there is a jukebox. And, you know, he tells the friends, let's go for it. Let's go for our despecho. And they put the music on the jukebox. And he starts singing, you know, volver, volver a tus brazos otra vez. So I need to go back again to your arms. You can't get more despecho than that.
At what point are you like, bro, what's your horse doing in here?
I know.
Well, it's Vicente Fernandez. Of course he has his horse with him.
Is it the tiny horse? I thought maybe he had his tiny horse on the table.
I show that clip in my the first day of class.
Oh,
when
really?
I teach telenovelas, culture, and society. Yes. I show them that clip of that ranchera. I show them Amor Gitano, which we already heard. And I show them a tango. So my students, who are non-Latinos for the most part, understand what despecho is. Because if they don't understand despecho, then they can't understand what is the deal with a telenovela. Why would people sit down every night for 120 plus days to follow a story they already know how it will end? And they follow it because of the twists and turns of the despecho.
Let's talk about newer telenovela, La Reina del Sur, the Queen of the South. And, well, why don't we listen to the theme song, which is also called La Reina del Sur by Los Cuates de Sinaloa.
Voy a cantar un corrido. Escuchen muy bien mis compas. Para la Reina del Sur, traficante muy famosa.
So again, that's a theme song for a current telenovela, La Reina del Sur, The Queen of the South. The storyline features Teresa Mendoza, played by Kate del Castillo, a young woman who lives with her boyfriend, El Güero, or
The
light-skinned one, who is a drug trafficker, and he's a rising star in the Sinaloa drug cartel, and he's killed. So she runs off to Spain and is followed by a DEA agent. From the Drug Enforcement Agency. So this is what you were talking about before. This is a very different telenovela than what I grew up watching with my grandmother after school. I grew up more watching, I don't know, more like the Thalía telenovelas, very romantic fantasies and social class climbing. The situation in Mexico has changed a lot in the last 10 years or so. And I'm wondering, is this fairly common for novelas to reflect the situation of the country?
Well, it depends on the country. La Reina del Sur is actually a literary novel written by Arturo Pérez Reverte, a Spanish writer. It was a bestseller. La Reina del Sur you know, follows the story of Teresa Mendoza, the one that you just described, and it was extremely successful for Telemundo. I understand it's the most successful product Telemundo has ever broadcast. I think it is not a coincidence that it was not produced in Mexico. I don't think Mexico has shown that it's ready yet to tackle its own issues with, you know, drug lords and narcotraffic and all of that. It takes sometimes for a culture to really be able to reflect on the reality before turning it into fiction. But La Reina del Sur would be part of the subgenre called narconovela, in which the narco traffic, the drug lords, all of that sort of sordid world becomes the context of the love story.
I want to go back to that idea of that dominance by Univision and Telemundo, because they've also come under fire by critics of the telenovela, that it seems to be like dumbing down the audience. Like there isn't, because they dominate and it's such a great rush to have that ratings dominance, that, you know, news and informational programming gets a backseat in terms of their programming offering. And, you know, I understand that. And for a long time, I was very critical. It's like, why, you know, why isn't there an equivalent to 60 Minutes on Spanish language television in prime time, like they do it here in English in the United States? But then a friend of mine said, well, you know, some of those issues, as we've been discussing, are discussed in the show itself. So it's a way, it can be seen as a way of disseminating that news and information. But still, I mean, how does that, how do you deal with that in your class about that criticism of the telenovela culture?
Yeah, I think here in the U.S., it is a pity that places like Univision don't have a variety of telenovelas, ones, you know, show some telenovelas that will be more critical of certain issues. Because, yes, you get that sense that you just are feeding people the same stereotypes all the time. And even though the telenovela is a commercial genre and the purpose of it is to win the ratings, I think that writers who are writing them should acknowledge that they have a huge responsibility, because the vehicle that they're driving is very powerful. So when you have an issue like breast cancer, you have a breast cancer story inside a telenovela, you are going to be reaching more women this way than with any public health campaign.
Sure. Well, and I think that's something that we definitely got a lot of listeners writing in about it. And I myself, like a lot of Latin Americans, have this love-hate relationship with novelas, and I'm fascinated by them, and they have a, you know, the ones I grew up watching, which are definitely the novela Rosa, they had a lot of humor, a lot of kitsch value. They make me nostalgic about my grandmother, you know, drinking chocolate milk after school. But I think as I grew up and I started getting more of an education, certain aspects of those soaps that I used to watch, they made me uncomfortable, because I felt that telenovelas like the Thalia telenovelas, which are kind of the quintessential story of the poor girl falls in love with the millionaire, eventually marries him after years of trouble, they reinforce class and race stereotypes. And a lot of listeners wrote in saying that telenovelas are watched in no small part by working class people, and they feature a very European beauty, these stories of social mobility. And that's just not the way things work in Latin America. For the most part, in Latin America, the rich stay rich, the poor stay poor, and there are very clear color lines.
Yeah, I completely agree. They just sell images that are not realistic, that do not correspond with reality. At the same time, we have to ask the question, then why do people love to watch them?
And that's a question.
Because they sell a dream too. They are selling you the love story that has the ingredients of maybe your own love story or the love story you dream about. They are selling you all of that. Sometimes you do have the writers that are very, that are more daring. And, you know, like I've been studying a writer for 13 years. He's Venezuelan. His name is Leonardo Padrón. And in the last telenovela he wrote 2 years ago, the protagonist had Asperger's syndrome, which is a form of autism. And with that, he not only raised consciousness, but he also spoke about the exclusion of the other. how do we treat people who we feel are different from mm-hmm. us, different in any sort of way? And he wrote, you know, the telenovela was very successful in Venezuela. And even, you know, I was in Venezuela until a week ago, and there was one point in which I was with Padrón in a public place, and two people approached us, and they said to us, you know, we have Asperger's syndrome. One of them said, I want to thank you to the writer, because after that telenovela, my classmates stopped bullying me. And the other one said, I want to thank you because when I watched the telenovela, I realized that what I have is Asperger's, and I went and got diagnosed. So when you see these things, when you experience this, you realize, you know, telenovelas are more than melodramatic love stories. They can be more. It's just an issue of taking responsibility and working that through a system that is completely commercial.
And how often does that happen?
Well, it depends on the country, the writer. I think in Brazil, it happens more than in any other country. I think in Mexico, it happens less than in any other country. I think in Venezuela and Colombia and Argentina and Chile, it happens depending on the writer that is, you know, that has his or her turn at bat. You know, the telenovela world is like a hitting rotation. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn.
Hmm. You've mentioned Brazilian soaps. Should I say soaps? Is it the same thing?
No, I don't think it's the same thing. We explain in the U.S. that they are like soap operas, but they're not soap operas because the soap opera never ends until it's canceled.
Yeah, that's and why I can't stand American soaps.
Yeah, they never end. So, you know, sometimes people, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Jasmine, because people say that telenovelas are, they love to say, those are over-the-top melodramas. Well, let me tell you, they're more over the top is the U.S. soap opera. Because in the telenovela, because it ends, you have 120 episodes, the beginning and end, that's it. But in the U.S. soap opera, because it doesn't end, they recycle plots. So you can see the same woman being good, then suffering from amnesia, then coming back, then she dies, but her body is never discovered. So then she comes back again, but as a different character. There you can see really over-the-top stories. But nobody says that because it's a U.S. soap opera.
Talk about no closure.
Yeah, there is no closure. Exactly. And the other thing is that the U.S. soap opera is, you know, it is relegated to the afternoon block. So everything about it is considered second tier, even the actors who work in it, which can be fantastic actors. They're considered second tier actors. The telenovela in Latin America is the star system of Latin America. It's different.
Earlier, you mentioned tango. Mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm. I'm from Argentina. I love tango, and it is really, you want to talk about despecho.
Yes.
That's like not even, because sometimes I feel like in Caribbean music, you have despecho, but the melody is very happy and energetic. We didn't even bother with the melody. Even the melody wants to make you jump off a bridge. What tango should we listen to?
I think you could listen to, actually it's called Volver To, like the ranchera we just heard, because it's about returning again to the long-lost love. So, volver.
Volver was written by the master of all tango, Carlos Gardel.
Parpadeo de las luces que a lo lejos van marcando mi retorno. Son las mismas que alumbraron con sus pálidos reflejos hondas horas de dolor. Y aunque no quise el regreso, siempre se vuelve al primer amor. La quieta calle donde el eco dijo, tuyo es su vida, tuyo es su querer, bajo el burlón mío. mirar de las estrellas que con indiferencia hoy me ven volver, volver. Con la frente marchita las nieves del tiempo platearon mi cien. Sentir que es un soplo la vida, que 20 años no es nada si febril la mirada errante en la sombra te busca y te nombra. Vivir con el alma aferrada a un dulce recuerdo que lloro otra vez. Tengo miedo del encuentro con el pasado que vuelve a enfrentarse con mi vida. Tengo miedo de las noches que pobladas de recuerdos encadenen mi soñar. Pero el viajero que huye tarde o temprano detiene su andar. Y aunque el olvido que todo destruye haya matado mi vieja ilusión, guardo escondida una esperanza humilde que es toda la fortuna de mi corazón. Aferrada a un dulce recuerdo que lloro otra vez.
I was going to mention another tango that got used in a telenovela called Betty la Fea, Ugly Betty, before it was a US show. And that was one telenovela I remember watching where there was kind of a feminist message of a woman who was not as attractive as the other women, but she was very smart. And she gets into the heart of the protagonist because she's smart and she's savvy. And a lot of people wrote in asking about women's issues in telenovelas. If you look at Telenovela Rosa, it's always the very beautiful kind of naive to the point of silliness protagonist. How are feminist issues being portrayed in telenovelas today?
Well, for the most part, they're not. But there are, you know, you can find signs in some telenovelas about equality, about getting over the stereotype of the beautiful girl that is sort of not intelligent, or the one that deserves it, even if she doesn't go to school or anything. Betty la Fea, from, you know, written by Fernando Gaitán in Colombia, starts from a, you know, from an assumption that is really interesting, which is, you know, nobody pays attention to Betty because she's ugly, but she's the one who gets the guy at the end. But when you really examine Betty la Fea, it really is the story of the ugly duckling, because Betty changes throughout, and in the end, she looks like, you know, like any other telenovela protagonist. I've always wondered, whereas what would have happened if Betty didn't change? What would have happened if she had been portrayed by an actress who actually wasn't that beautiful? Because everybody knew that the actress who portrayed her was a pretty woman. She was just being, you know, made uglier.
Yeah, they
with
pasted
makeup
a unibrow on her.
Exactly, and put, you know, braces on her teeth and all sorts of things.
Which, for those of us with braces, was very problematic.
Yeah. So I've always wondered what would have happened if Betty did not change. Would the telenovela have the same resonance it had, because it was hugely successful. I also think, to be honest, that it was hugely successful because it is wonderful. It's a wonderful telenovela. It has a lot of humor in it. It is very well balanced. The story is very well told. All the dialogues are fantastic. Characters are very well written. So, you know, I don't want to diminish it, because I thought it was a wonderful example of the genre.
You know, there's certainly more to talk about when we're talking about telenovelas, but we're running out of time.
So I would encourage listeners to leave comments on our page, npr.org/altlatino, and maybe, Professor Alsudu, you can go into the page and answer the comments.
I'd be happy to do that. I would be happy to do that.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been
so interesting.
It's been a lot of fun. A little bit melodramatic, I'm just, you know.
Carolina, do you think you can convince Felix to eventually do El Grito for us now that you've tapped into his inner despecho?
Oh, please. You must, Felix.
This is the second time you try to get me on tape to try to.
He refuses to do El Grito on tape.
You know, it's 11:30 in the morning. It's like, that's a late night thing.
Vicente Fernandez would be ready right now.
Think of Vicente Fernandez. That was not 11:30 in the morning in the cantina with the horse. Okay.
So. Well, no, actually, I disagree. I think it's timeless.
If you come back, we will try it then. Okay. Sorry.
Thank you so much for having me in the show.
Thank you.
This was so much fun. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And don't forget, you can hear all the songs we played on this week's show on our page, npr.org/altlatino. Leave us your thoughts there. Professor Alsudu is going to answer, and you guys can have a really good conversation with her.
My name is Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garz.
This has been Alt Latino.